Let's do it. Book of Galatians, chapter 5. This is Galatians chapter 5. This is the fourth in this series on your serve. So get it open to Galatians 5 and then Romans chapter 12. And that's where we are going to go today and have as our foundation. The title of the message today is Active Duty, Active Duty. Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to need my phone there. Would you hand that to me, please? Thanks. Galatians chapter 5. Let's go to verse number 13 there. Galatians 5, verse 13, and it reads this way. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty only. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Let me read that to you in the contemporary English version. I love this particular version, and it reads this way. Verse 13 reads, my friends, you were chosen to be free, so don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want. Whoa, we could stop and park right there, couldn't we? Amen. Don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want to do. That's crazy. But yet, Christians do that. And that should not be something that we, you know, even consider. Use it as an opportunity to serve each other with love. You were chosen to be free, so don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want. Use it as an opportunity to serve each other with love. You know, I will say this, that you can take anything that's good from the Word and twist it and have it become something that's not so good. When we talk about serving, because this whole series is about serving and serving one another, serving other people, doing it as unto the Lord, you know, that sounds like, man, I don't have time to be doing that. You don't have time not to. Can I hear an amen? It's got real quiet right there. But the fact is, you've been saved so you can serve. Do you hear me? You've been set free so that you can serve others. Well, now, Pastor, it sounds to me like if I'm set free, that would just be stepping back into an area of bondage if all I'm ever doing is serving other people. That is not true. No. You've been saved. You've been set free, given this liberty in Christ so that you can freely give and help other people in the body and out of the body, outside of the body of Christ, certainly. But is it possible to take something that is very good and twist it and turn it? You know, the scripture says that the love of money is the root of all evil, right? Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 6, what, verse 10, I believe it is. And how many times have people quoted that verse of Scripture and read it this way or quoted it this way? Money is the root of all evil. Yeah. And so if you have money, you're evil. If you have money, I mean, you are not a good person. You need to get rid of all of it. Don't you know the story of the rich young ruler and how terrible it was for him to have all that money? That rich young ruler, the reason Jesus put his finger on that with that man was because that man was trusting in his riches. And I'll tell you this much right now. If you're trusting in your riches, you've got a problem that only the Lord can solve. And your first step needs to be, I'm going to stop trusting in my money. Ooh, this cuts deep, does it not? It really does. Because people would like to say, I don't trust my money, but why do you get so uptight about your money if you're not trusting it? I was telling somebody the other day about here in the church how, you know, every month we're not underwritten by anybody. There's no organization that sends a big fat check to this church once a month. You know, the denomination, and they match every fund that comes in, every dollar that comes in, they match it. We don't have that. We never have. This is totally what is brought into the church through the offerings online and in the mail and here you know, in person, that's what this church functions on. And, you know, I mean, it's like, okay, we're believing God. We just believe God. We just trust God. I don't even give it a whole lot of thought anymore, to tell you the truth. I really don't. I don't. We, you know, have to believe in tens of thousands of dollars every month to run. How many of y'all in your businesses have to have money coming in, or your businesses don't do well, right? Isn't that right? Well, we had $50 came in last month. Well, your business will probably not be there next month. Amen. So you need to have a consistent flow coming in. The flow that comes in to the church is, you know, just based on people listening to the Lord and doing what the Lord instructs. I have found that if I put my trust in people, I'm in trouble. Because you can't trust people. You cannot put your trust in people. Put your trust, put your faith in God. Amen. But so is it possible to take something that's very good and use it in the wrong way? Absolutely. You know, you can use money for good things. You can use money for good things, or you can use money for some very evil things. The money itself is not the evil. What's done with it? Right? A gun is not evil. It's if a person loads it up and goes and shoots somebody with it, that it becomes a problem. Amen? So these fools out there that, and I'm telling you, it's fools, that think a gun just goes and shoots people by itself. I mean, you got to really be stupid to think that. Come on, can I hear an amen, you guys here? I mean, my gosh. I've got guns at the house that, I mean, I've had guns for years. Those guns don't, you know, I came home, man, that thing was out in the yard shooting people. Crying out loud, I come out with a shotgun. Get down, Ann. The gun's going crazy. The only problem with guns is the people that have them. And if they're evil people, bad people, they're going to use them in a bad way. Why is that so hard to understand? You can twist scriptures. You can twist ideas. You can do all that kind of thing. What we need to do is adhere to the Word of God and stick to it. And here we have an opportunity by occasion to serve one another, love each other, do the right things that the scriptures instruct us to do, and not twist the Word to try to make it say something that it doesn't. It is the love of money, not money itself. So that frees you up. Gives you the liberty to have millions of dollars and not be an evil person. Imagine that. These folks that are so against prosperity, you know, that are saved. It's just greed. Well, there are greedy people in the earth. There are. There are some really rotten, greedy people in the earth. Can I hear an amen? Sure, there are. But there are some really good, strong Christian people that love God and help others that are loaded to the gills. Come on, let's go on. So we are to serve one another. We've been saved to serve. Sure. Go to Romans chapter 12, back up over there to Romans 12. So don't use your freedom as an occasion to the flesh. Don't twist things. Don't try to make the Word say something it doesn't. Don't look for excuses to not serve. Don't look for excuses not to do the things that God instructs in His Word. Every one of us need to be obedient, because I want to tell you this and really, in a sense, warn you. There's a day coming you're going to stand before the Lord, and you're going to be on your own before God. And you will answer for what you did and did not do with the Word. Okay? And nobody's going to be there to go, you know, they didn't mean to do that. So you and I will answer for ourselves. Amen. So get on it. Romans 12, look at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let me read that to you out of the Amplified Version. It reads this way. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent, listen to this, service and spiritual worship. Spiritual worship. Presenting yourself to the Lord to be used of him. Presenting your body as this sacrifice before God. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm not going to be selfish about this and look out after myself. It's not about me. It's about what we can hear from God to do to help other people. And that needs to be the focus. So if you get blessed with a bunch and God has done that in your life, well, then what we need to do with what we have as we believe for abundance and all, and there's, again, nothing wrong with it, just listen to the Lord. Do with it what the Lord instructs you to do. That is a key in the Lord really furthering you in your walk with him. Now, let's look at the word ministry. We had talked about the word ministry in the beginning of this series and how important it is to understand that when you hear the word ministry, you should automatically think service. Service. We're talking about serving the Lord, but we're talking about serving one another. And so ministry is literally service. Service. So when you hear ministry and service based upon this portion of Scripture and in particular, in the Amplified, you should also equate worship with it. What we just did was worship. Yes, that's a form. But did you know serving the Lord and being obedient to do what he tells you to do in your life is worship? Vacuuming the rug, cleaning the church building, mowing the grounds, ushering, greeting, teaching a class, doing the nursery, whatever it may be. Those are all forms that if they're done with the heart right before God, God calls it worship. God calls that worship. I think that that is something that we just do not have in our thoughts. When we say worship, everybody kicks into this, right? Singing, praising, hands up, hands down, whatever it may be. Praise and worship. I worship you, Almighty God. Yes, but worship also has to begin in the heart. And God is always looking at your heart. So that's a very, very vital, vital thing that when you hear the word ministry, you think service, you think actually spiritual worship before God. So when I do something, when I go up and shake somebody's hand, greeting them as they're coming into the church, that's worship? Yeah, if your heart's right. Absolutely it is. That's worship before God. Why? Because you're presenting your body. You're doing something with your life that may not be pleasing to the flesh. And people don't like to think of it that way. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is a reasonable request of the Lord unto you and unto me. In light of what he's done for us, it is absolutely a reasonable request. Now, let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll get moving in the direction where we're headed today with a little bit more pinpointed accuracy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4 reads this way. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 4. No man that warreth, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You see that? How many of y'all have been in the military in times past? Some of you guys have been in the military, and I know that, so we want to say again, thank you for your service in the military. Very, very, very important. Now, in the military, once you go into you are accepted into the military and you arrive at the camp wherever you're going, what was the first thing that they did? Holler at you, right? Yeah, I'm sure that's right. But you are inducted, you're brought in, and they give you all a haircut, yes? And now you're no longer considered a civilian. I was not in the military. My dad was in the military, fought in World War II, you know. But brought into this system now that, guess what? You're not going to do what you want to do. Am I right, Paul? Is that right? You don't get to just do what you want to do when you're in the military. It's not like, well, I don't feel like doing any exercises today. I don't feel like running. I'm going to stay in my rack, right? Yeah, right. They'll have you up and out, and you'll wish you had never even thought about not getting up. You now are coming under a different set of rules. You're not at the house anymore. You're not a civilian. You don't do what you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you want to do it. You are now in the military. Amen? And so there is a difference between people that are in active service and those that are in active duty and those that are in civilian life. Right. Okay, so it's a pretty simple thing. People in the military live by a set of rules that the military dictates. Okay, understandable. Well, why is it when people come into the kingdom of God, and it's scripture very plainly right here says, no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Who do you suppose chose you to be a soldier? You are in the army of God. It's not necessarily something that, you're not going to just go warring against people, obviously. But our war is not against flesh and blood. The Bible says it's against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, Ephesians 6:12. So there's a difference between a person who's living their life as a civilian, and it's pretty much me, I-centered. I do what I want to do. I come and go as I please. And a person who's in the military who does exactly what his commanding officer, or sergeant, whoever it may be, is telling him or her to do. And there's consequences if you don't do what you're supposed to do. Okay, I think we've established that, but yet that transfers to the Christian life. And people get this idea that, I'm free in Jesus, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Doesn't that sound like our foundation? Don't use your liberty to do whatever you want to do. Did you see that? I know it was in the contemporary English. You want me to read it again? We don't need to hear it again, Pastor Dan. We know. Yeah, okay. So it's not a matter of you doing what you want to do. Let me ask you a very, very simple question. How many believers today are to be in active duty for the Lord? Would that be everybody? I think that's a fair assumption. Nobody's called to sit and soak. Sit, soak, and sulk. Nobody's called to just sit. Yeah, but Pastor Dan, we come in here every Sunday and sit. Well, we could take all the seats out and you could stand the whole time, I suppose. No, thank you. No, I get it. But the fact is, we're called to active duty. Well, it's not by your rules. Do you hear me? It's you don't do what you want to do. You do what the Lord says to do. Well, does that mean that I just have to do everything that you say to do? No. No. But please, listen to the Lord. And if you are listening to him, he's going to tell you things that only line up with his word. He's not going to tell you it's okay to do this, 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 and this, and you can act like this or think like this or live like this, and it runs contrary to the scriptures. He's not going to tell you that, okay? Your commanding officer is going to say everything to you in line with this word. So now it's very important that you know this word and hear it, all right? And it's time to buckle down and actually, become more disciplined in the things of God. Well, that's always meant with a very rousing amen. I know that. So how many, though, in the body of Christ are actually in active service or in active duty, actually living their lives as soldiers before the Lord, doing what the Lord says to do and not playing by your own set of rules and your own dictates? How many are actually serving like that? And then how many Christians are living the civilian life claiming to be a soldier of the Lord? Ooh, I know this is cutting. I know. When I was writing it, it's like, oh my goodness. That's a very good question, isn't it? You know, when, what do they call that, when the bugle goes off in the morning? Some of you are thinking ravioli, but it's not. It's revelry. Isn't that it? Yeah, whatever. Well, just you want to hit the snooze button. How many Christians hit the snooze button every day when they're called to get up and go and spend some time with the Father? You know, here's the key to being able to get up in the morning. I'm going to give you some real wisdom right now. Powerful wisdom. Go to bed earlier. How's that? Yeah, but only the good movies are on at midnight. There's nothing good on at that time. You good and well know it. Come on, we know that. Why do you suppose most of the junk happens at night under the cover of darkness? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Why do these clubs open up at such and such an hour so that people can go in and slip in there, you know, and hide in the shadows? The dark shadows. Yeah, whatever. So how many people are actually in active service? That's a good question. Or are they living their lives for themselves? Man, that just cuts right to the bottom line of all of this, doesn't it? Okay, now let me tell you something here that this is important that you understand this. I know you do, but maybe you haven't heard it put this way in the last few days. The enemy of your service to the Lord, my service to the Lord, guess what that enemy is? Somebody will say, what's the devil? Hold on a minute. No. You know what it is? It's your life. The enemy, the competitor, if you will, this way, the competitor to you serving the Lord is your life. I really didn't want to hear that either. But think about your life. Huh? Yeah, this is something pretty serious right here. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 10. This is that portion of Scripture that I think will clarify this to a degree anyway. Our lives are the competitors to us, really, and probably our thought lives would be a more accurate way to put it, because what you end up doing is based on a thought that you had, and then you end up carrying it out. But in Matthew 10, let's look at verse... I'm going to read from verse 37. I was going to go 36, but we'll just jump in. Because it talks about your life at the end of this little portion. Verse 37, Matthew 10, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Do you see that? He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now listen to what he's saying. This is heavy. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And here's the verse. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. What did we just say was the competitor to you serving the Lord and giving yourself over in active service? It's your life. And if all people are doing is trying to find their life, people are searching for the ultimate euphoric thing that will happen in their life, that everything will be good. Guess what? That euphoria that people are seeking after is only found in serving. That's what's so weird to the mind. No, it's not. It's about me having this. And if I have this and if I have that, then I'll be happy. If I have this and if I get to this level, I will be happy and you watch. You know, when I was teaching tennis at the country club, I met more millionaire men and women, millionaires, people that were millionaires, who were miserable. Yeah. Because they went into it with the thought that if I just have this, this, and this, then I will be automatically happy. And that's not how happiness is obtained, not by you and I going after happiness for ourselves. The key to finding your life is losing it. Now, what does that mean? Well, in losing your life, in other words, not... When the word says if a man will lose his life or a woman will lose their life, it really comes down to putting the things of the Lord first and not of your life first. We're just simply talking about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus said the one who is the servant is greatest of all. Jesus said, I've not come to be served, but I came to serve. Then what did he do? He wanted to wash the disciples' feet, and who was the one that opposed him and spoke up? Peter. He's always the one that says something. And he's like, you're not going to wash my feet. Oh, no, there's no way. Uh-uh. And Jesus said, if I don't, you're not having any part in this kingdom. And then suddenly Peter turns. Hey, wash my head to toe, man. Just give me a bath. And so... You know, I mean, it's like Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. So we need to echo that in our lives with the attitude that I have come to be a servant of the Lord. And when he tells me to do this, I'm going to do it without complaining because, after all, he is the commanding officer. Amen? And I'm not even going to put family ahead of God. Now, a lot of times people think that by putting family first that they're doing something really spiritual and really good. But I have news for you. If your family's first, then God's not. You notice I didn't look at any of us when I said that? How many of y'all love your families? Of course you do. Well, that's debatable on a few days here and there. Right? No, of course you do. You love your family. But we're, you know, if we're putting our families first, then we are out of order. There's only one slot at the top, first place. There's only a number one priority spot. There's only one of those. And if my wife is in that spot, or my son, or my family members, or my job, or my possessions, or whatever it may be, I put something else there, guess who's automatically bumped down a notch, no matter where you had them? The Lord, right? The Lord is automatic. If the Lord was at number one and you suddenly put your wife in there or your husband in there, meeting their needs, now God has automatically bumped down a spot and you're wrong. You're automatically, instantly out of order. And yet, Christian after Christian after Christian fall into this. Notice what he said, that if you do not, or if you love your father and your mother more than me, you're not worthy of the Lord. Wow. I mean, I thought I was supposed to love my family. You are. You're just not supposed to love them more than God. Well, you know, I thought that by putting them first and taking care of them, I know what you're thinking. And men, when you think this way, I know, and some of you ladies the same way, he that does not provide for his household's worse than an infidel, right? Doesn't the word say that? So I have to provide for my household. Yeah, but in the process, you held your family up in this place and you actually exalted your work over your family in the attempt to supply for your family. You put your job first. You put your career first so I can provide a good home and blah, blah, blah. And I've heard people tell me this. And it's like, yeah, but in the process, you showed an example. And you bumped God down. Leave the Lord first. God is first. He's supposed to be first. What we're supposed to be doing for him needs to come first. First of all. And you know what? I have found that if I'll keep the Lord first and not let other things usurp that position, Has the Lord ever been bumped down on your priority list, Pastor Danny? Yeah. Yeah, you can get busy trying to do certain things, and especially in the ministry. You can get busy trying to do the work of the ministry and forget what you're really doing. And suddenly the Lord's not first anymore. Now it's about this situation or that situation. Wait a minute. I am in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I need to listen to the commanding officer, and I need to listen to what he's telling me to do. He said, if I will seek first his kingdom, all of those other things that I have need of will be given unto me. Now, I'm not trying to belittle messages of putting your faith out, because we just talked about that. It's important, but all of that is predicated by keeping the Lord first place. And when he's first place, man, you can ask what you will, and it'll happen. I've noticed that. I've noticed through the years, if I concentrate on keeping things in their right order and perspective, it's a great blessing. It's a great blessing. It's when we let them get out of order that we get into trouble. So, if you're going to save your life, that would be, he that finds his life shall lose it. Finding your life or saving your life, the different words are used in various versions, but basically you're doing everything to fulfill what you think is the ultimate goal in this life. Some people say, if I can just hit six figures in my personal income, I'm going to be automatically happy. No, there's absolutely no guarantees of that. If I can just, have that kind of car, I'll be happy for a little while. And then you have to vacuum it, and you have to clean it. You got to pay the insurance on it. Well, hey, come on. Then you have to maintain it and do the other things too. Sure. Well, if I could just have a home like that, if I could just have a big yard or something. Man, don't be careful what you wish for. I heard, who was it? Lynn Hammond, Mac Hammond's wife up in Minnesota. She had said that we have all become a society within the church, a community of maintenance men, because we have so many things to maintain. You know, I have a vehicle I need to change the oil in right now, one of my vehicles at the house. I've got to change the oil in the lawnmower. I need to do that. Maintain it. Got to fix this, got to fix that, got to take care of this, got to take care of that. Oh, because you're blessed, Pastor Dan. Yeah, you have all these things, and now suddenly you have to take care of all of it. And what does that do? Draws you away from time with the Lord. So are you saying it would be better just not to have anything? Some days I'm thinking that. You know what I'm saying? Pain in the backside, have to get out there and mow for 4 or 5 hours and then trim it and do this and do that. Yesterday I went out and I was, I've got these paths cut through my forest. And it's been probably 3-4 years ago, I cut all that. That would be like the second time I went through that whole deal. Cutting branches off and keeping the paths wide. Well, in time, what happens? They're trying to grow together. Well, you go through there and you get hit in the head with a spider because it's up on top there, and bam, a big spider landed on me the other day when I went through there mowing. Hate that. Frustrating, man. So I went through and I clipped all those branches off. Well, this morning, I woke up. I paid for it. Oh, but it's so nice to have. No, I'm telling you, we become a society of maintenance people. And we need to be very cautious. Do you hear me? Why don't you hire some? You know, that's a good idea. Maybe I'll hire somebody that needs a job and have them come out there and cut some of that stuff so I don't have to go through that exercise, you know. But the exercise is good for you, so praise God for that. Your life is a competitor for fully serving the Lord. Your life. Think about your life and how your life and what you do competes with you fully serving God. I know you're contemplating that. I know it's quiet, but you're contemplating that because this is something we all need to address. Go to Luke 14 quickly. Luke 14. You're in Matthew 10. Go to Luke 14. I tell you what, I have read this parable many, many, many times. Many times. There's something whenever we ask the question, again, how many Christians should be in active service for the Lord? And we all said all, right? Everybody ought to be actively serving the Lord, doing something. There enters this problem. And there's not a person alive who hasn't used it. I heard one pastor refer to it as the two problem. Not the number two problem, the two problem. T-O-O. I'm too busy to serve the Lord fully like that. I'm too invested. I'm too important. I've had people actually act like they're too important. They're at an upper level. You're not going to catch me pulling a weed out of a garden. I've heard this one, I'm too young. I've heard the other end of the spectrum, I'm too old. I live too close to the church. I need to move a little further away because they can always call me so easily. I've heard that. I'm too far from the church. I am too this, I am too that. And people come up with all sorts of excuses. In Luke 14, this is that parable of concerning the kingdom, and I want you to pick it up in verse number 16 and look at this, and you're going to see how this plays out. Then said he unto him, a certain man bade a great supper and bade many. Y'all remember this, right? And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they with all, or with one consent, began to do what? Make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Let's just stop in that verse 18 for a moment. I bought a piece of land. Please excuse me, I have to go look at it. Let me ask you this. If you wait 24 hours and go see the land then, is that land running away somehow in the next day or the next little bit? I have to go now. I can't come to the banquet. I must need, please, and he's polite, please have me excused. That land's not going anywhere. Do you hear me? It was a convenient excuse for this man. But he was polite. Verse 19, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Well, here's the next one that this man used. I've got these animals. I need to get them all hooked up because I got a job to do tomorrow or the next day or whatever. And, there's not another time that he could do this. But during this time when the banquet is going on, it's an excuse. And verse 20, another said, I have married a wife. Now notice in verse 20, he doesn't even ask them to please excuse him. He says, I'm too married, man. I just can't come. I just can't come. She tells me how high to jump, when to jump, and that's what I do. Well, that's a whole nother series. But, an excuse. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Come on, has anybody ever made an excuse for not getting together with the things of God and in the things of God? Come on, I have. But I always have to be here because I'm the pastor, right? You have to go to church today. I don't want to go to church. You have to go. You're the pastor, you know. So here, the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, do you see that? The master was not happy about this. Said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, they missed their opportunity, didn't they? They missed their opportunity. Now, I will tell you this. There are excuses and there are reasons. Just say amen. There's a reason. There are times there are reasons. We are not, and the scripture's not coming against an actual reason. There are reasons. Come on. But then there are excuses. And I have found it an amazing thing in all the years that I've been pastoring a church. I found that people basically will do what they really want to do. I found that. I have found, now come on, you with me? Yeah. Come, you know what? What's important is that we all be honest in our own lives about this. Because I'm not pointing the finger at you, I'm pointing it at me. In fact, I'm pointing all my fingers at me right now. And if I make an excuse in, maybe it's like, you know, not about the preaching of the word or coming to the church building, okay, but maybe it's about spending time in prayer. Maybe it's about stepping out and helping somebody when I can make an excuse not to step out and help them. It's easier to not put myself out. Yep. We're not just talking church attendance. We're talking doing what the master is commanding us to do. Amen. Okay? Church attendance is part of that, yeah. But that's not the sole focal point of this thing. It's doing what the Lord said to do. You're in the army of the Lord. You're a soldier in the army. And your commanding officer is telling you that you should go over there and help that person. Go over and do this. Go over and do that. Set that example before your peers. Amen? Sure. I don't feel like it. Here come the excuses. Well, you know, excuses don't work. And don't expect the master to be happy about your excuses, because he wasn't here and he isn't now. Okay? Now, again, I didn't write this. And there's coming a day every one of us are going to stand before the Lord. You come up with an excuse for not doing this and not doing that and not doing this and not doing that, and your life goes on and on and on, and one day you're going to stand before God and he's going to say, why didn't you do what you had the opportunity to do and you wouldn't do it? Because you wanted to do something else. I mean, I think when the Lord speaks to us about this stuff one day, we're going to go, gosh, I wasted a lot of time doing that kind of stuff. I wasted all this time doing this, and I could have been helping somebody. I could have been serving in the church. I could have been doing something productive, all the while trying to find my life and find that euphoria that so many people talk about, and you know, and it's like, no, the only way that you ever end up being blessed with that wonderful heart feeling of accomplishing something is when you step into the role of serving others. Paul, we talked about this when you led that man to the Lord that night, how good that felt, right? How many of y'all, it feels good when you pray for somebody? It feels good when you do something for somebody. Don't you love to bless somebody? Doesn't that feel good? It does. It's more blessed, the Bible says, to give than to receive. But it's your choice. It's your choice of what you're going to do. Go to 1 John 2. It's your choice of whether you're going to obey or not. And that's why I have said, and I've said it before, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I've said it before, how important it is to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, because it's in the doing that you actually experience the euphoria that you're after. The talking about it, the hearing it, those are, I mean, that's good to talk it, it's good to hear stuff, but the euphoria, that feeling of accomplishment, that feeling, that good feeling comes when you end up doing that word and the results follow. That's what we're indicating there. And it's very, very important that if you never step to that point, you'll never experience it. And you'll think, if I just have some more money, I'll be happier. No. You start serving, you're going to be happier. Do you hear me? 2 Timothy 2, we'll close with this. Look at verse 15. What am I saying? Where am I at? Study to show yourself approved. That's a good verse. You need to study, Pastor Dan. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. I'm sorry. I had another verse of 2 Timothy listed there, and I read the wrong one. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Here you go. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. The things that the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, all those things that lust tries to magnify in your eyes, the things, the clothing, the possessions, those things are, the devil's always trying to magnify that in your eyes and make your life about that. And the Lord's saying your life is not to be about that. Your life is to be about serving, doing what I tell you to do, the Lord tells you to do, doing what he says to do, and all of those things that the Gentiles seek after will come to you. Keep your priorities right. Don't love the world. Don't love the things in the world. I'm going to tell you something right now. Everything that we have here in this life, everything. I mean, we've got some nice equipment here. We've got some nice accoutrements, things here in this church building. You have nice things in your life. Some of you are wearing, you're all wearing clothes, but some of you are wearing dresses. Some are wearing suits. Some are wearing casual clothing, whatever. All of it is like a gallon of milk. Your house, your car, all of your possessions, it's like a gallon of milk. What do you mean by that, Pastor Dan? It has an expiration date on it. And whether you like to think of it this way or not, it's going to turn rotten at some point. You can't take it with you when you go. Isn't that what the word says? That's true. The scriptures may not be exactly that particular wording, but that principle is certainly there. It's all has an expiration date on it. And people are giving their whole lives in search of something that isn't going to amount to anything. Stand to your feet, please. With the thought that if I get that, I'm going to be really happy. I am not telling you that it's wrong to have things. That would be very wrong. Because if it's wrong to have things, we're all wrong. Who drove here in a thing today? Yeah, well, hey, there's some nice Volkswagen. We live in a thing called a house. Sure. Sure. So you need to be careful on how you start throwing things out there. It's okay to have things. Don't let the things have you. It's okay to have money. Don't let the money dictate to you what you're going to do and how you're going to live. Don't let the money be your driving force behind what you do and how you live. Because at the end of the rainbow, so to speak, if that's your pursuit, you're trying to find your life or save your life, You're going to end up losing it. You want to end up obtaining the real, the true blessings of God? Decide that you're going to abandon your own personal pursuits of happiness and seek the happiness of other people. Amen. Uh-huh. This separates the men from the boys right here.
Yeah, but I want this. I want this. I want this.
Spoiled little brat. You're not ever going to get it.
Yeah, well, how come they get to have it and I don't?
Get your eyes where they need to be. Amen. I'm telling you, I've said it so many times. It's in the Word, Matthew 6. If you'll seek him first, all these other things come to you, and you don't even know how they came. Yeah. Okay. God's good. He is good. Who's in active duty in here today? If you're in active duty, then you need to listen to your commanding officer. That's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he's speaking to his people about being more active in their service unto him and to serve one another and not use that liberty as an excuse to do anything that you want to do. Let's bow our heads, go before the Lord right now. And I know this was kind of, I tried to keep it light, but yet there's a heaviness to this message that needs to be addressed in all of us. So please don't let something that is said offend you, because there was no offense meant by any of it. I'm talking to me just as much as I'm talking to you. Amen. Anyway, Pastor Dan, then we appreciate that. That's a good word. Father, we thank you and praise you for the day. We thank you and give you glory for, Lord, calling us to be servants. Calling us to walk after the ways of your word and not the ways of the world. And Father, we live in this world, but we're not of this world. Our kingdom is in another place. The kingdom of God is in another place. Yes, it's in us, but our home is in heaven. And I praise you and bless you today and thank you for, Lord, every one of us just coming to grips with our own lives, not looking around, not trying to point the finger at each other, but to look at our own lives and say, am I doing that? What am I doing? What am I doing? Not what is so-and-so doing. What am I doing before the Lord in my service to you? And so, Lord, I thank you for enlightenment, encouragement, Father, strong decisions to serve you in a greater, more fully active way being made today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. If y'all can agree, come on, say amen, please. Amen.